car, and I don't remember what the other two were, but they presented us with three awards, and we had several trophies and all kinds of stuff. And it was a lot of fun when we had that car. Unfortunately, it got away from me about 8 years ago. I had to get rid of it.
With the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. So, Ken, I'm looking at the car, a Maxwell on, you know, the old Google machine here. And, oh, my goodness, what a beautiful car. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. I can't imagine, you know, driving something like that. I mean, I bet it just kind of cruised. I can just see myself sitting behind that seat with my wife, you know. I bet it was a dream to drive.
And, you know, there was a feature about the car that I didn't even know about until after I sold it. But the back seat folded down into a bed, a full-size bed in the back of that car. And it was really unique. The car you're looking at, is that kind of like a powdery blue color with a black top over?
Okay. Well, they've got they're showing two versions here. One is, one's convertible, and the other one is, looks like a coupe or something, or sedan. But, I mean, wow, what a beautiful looking car. How did you come about, getting ownership of the car?
His first name. The guy that owned the junkyard, he had a car collection, and it was in his car collection. And I had been after him for years to buy that car. And one day he called me up and he says, "Ken," he said, "I got some bad news today. I'm dying of liver cancer. And I want to know if you still want to buy that car." And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." So I went down there and I loaded up the car on a car trailer, paid the man, and drove off as a happy camper.
Okay, well, bad circumstances, but, you know, it's good to have something like that and to be able to enjoy it. I had a customer years ago. He was a fire chief here in one of the counties here, and he had a T model, and it was not running well, you know, given some issues. So he brought it out here for me to look at, and saw I had a machine shop, and I was, you know, kind of building engines. So he brought a spare block out here with some, you know, the crankshaft and this, that, and the other. But I just could never get used to the way a T model or A model sounds. It just, you know, they're a pleasure to see. I can honestly say I don't think they're a pleasure to drive for me, because you know you got the timing control on the steering wheel that you have to advance and retard the timing and shift and all of this. I'm coordinated, but you know not that coordinated. But I can just imagine how that car sounds, and just. I mean, I bet it had some weight to it. I mean, the car looks like it was well-built, if, you know, talking about the Maxwell. But I bet it was a pleasure to drive.
It was. Let's see. I'm looking here on Google right now. Yeah, that was the old Jack Benny car, the Maxwell was. Let's see. Well, I don't see mine on there. look at this one. No. Model 25. Okay. Mine looked like the Model 25, the blue one with the black top. But that top is a convertible top. And it was a touring car. And mine wasn't. Mine was just a two-door sedan. Over.
So I have an older vehicle here, not anything like that. I'm into trucks and tractors. I used to restore tractors, you know, when I was in, you know, first married. And I don't know how many of the things I've got out here, but 1 year I bought a 1953 Chevrolet 3,800-ton truck. I love trucks. And I restored that thing from the ground up. I mean, took the cab off and, you know, everything. Built the engine and tried my best to build transmission. It's, you know, kind of a funny story with trying to get the transmission apart on the thing. But just, you know, went all the way through it. And I still drive it every now and then. But I love the older stuff. You know, they're well built. They, you know, they've got their own little personalities. You gotta, you know, it's not like today's cars. You get into today's vehicles, and they, you know, they have no personality. They just, you know, just void any response. And it's the older stuff. Just a pleasure to drive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do understand. And you'll probably find some truck parts down there. I also had a 1937 Ram two-door, three-window coupe. And I sold that to a guy in Salem, South Carolina. That came from the factory with a supercharger on it. And I bought that from Mr. Royston also, except that came as a box of parts. I had to put the thing together. And I didn't get it all together, and the guy came and offered me a Harley Davidson motorcycle for it. And I traded them flat out. But, that Gramp, quite a car too. Man bought it to, he was mentoring a young boy that lived up the road from him that was getting in a lot of trouble in the community. And he took him under his wing and told him he'd teach him how to build a car. I mean, let it reach that K82X. Losing my voice here. He traded the Harley Davidson. It was an 85 383 engine, a Sportster. But he traded me for that car so that he could take the car home. And he told the boy, you know, you come and fix this car, you might have one like it someday. And what he was going to do is he was going to teach the boy how to restore an automobile. And when they were all done, he was going to give it to him as a gift. Over.
NUE. I understand. Normally, you know, I think when you are kind of working with somebody like that, probably not the car that's the gift, it's, you know, the experience and sharing with somebody that's willing to teach you, you know. I mean, the car's nice, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, But, you know, when you got somebody that's willing to take the time with you and show you how to do things the right way, you know, that's a gift. That's a gift in itself, too, if you know what I mean.
Definitely I do. And, okay, I went onto YouTube, and I did a search for my channel on YouTube, and you'll get a couple, you'll get three things that pop up and say, view website. Then one circular Kenny Sams with a letter K in a red circle. And then there's one, two, three. There's three square icons with people's pictures in it. And then mine is the first round icon with just my face in it after that. And if you click on that channel, you can go there and you can see the video of the Maxwell on the Diamond Chrysler track plus several other videos. Over.
Get out, Ken. I got my computer screen full of EchoLink and Netlogs and everything else, but I will check it out. And, you know, matter of fact, me and my wife will take a look at it. But this 53 truck I got down here, and it's not anything like the Maxwell, you know, of course. But me and my middle son, we've restored it or did a lot of work with it together. And got some, you know, funny memories with it. I bought a new bumper for it. Went to a car show and bought a new old stock bumper for the thing, which is just a piece of, you know, quarter inch steel. And we came home, put it on the truck, and he wanted to go for a drive. And so he piled up in the seat, and we took off down the driveway, and I didn't put the nut on the steering wheel. We've been doing some work on the horn, and steering wheel came off going down the driveway. I know that sounds stupid, but it did, and I couldn't get the steering wheel back on it, and we, you know, hit a tree in the driveway, and, you know, tore the bumper all to pieces on, just bent it up, just ruined it, you know. So we still laugh about that, you know. Daddy, you remember when the steering wheel came out? He didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't either. But just, you know, a lot of memories with those old cars, and definitely with the truck down here, you know. I remember my grandmother talking about one of the cars had a rumble seat in the back. I'm not sure what kind of car it was, but you know, she tells stories about going into town with, you know, with the rumble seat in the car, and you could go see a movie and get an ice cream and a hot dog with a 25-cent piece and have a nickel left over. She called them a shoot-em-up bang, ice cream, and a hot dog, and have a nickel left over at the end of the night. Now, boy, that had to be something else to experience.
I imagine it was. If my dad had an experience like that, he had a model, I think it was a Model T Ford, and this is back during the days of the Model T Ford, when he was in high school, and it had a rag top on it, and my mother would sit next to him for some reason. She'd sit all the way over by the passenger's door when they went out on dates. So he poked a hole in the roof of that canvas top so that when it rained, she would have to slide over next to him on the seat, or else she'd be getting wet. And he said he steered that car for about 2 weeks with a pair of ice grips over. To AXQ. And also, about the Maxwell. When you bought the Maxwell, there were several options, and you could buy the pickup truck body or the car body, or you could buy the car and buy the pickup truck body extra, and they would deliver it to your farm, and when it came harvest time, they would send several mechanics out to your house off the chassis and put the pickup truck body on it so you could use it for harvest time, KA2AX2.
I mean not to answer you there or respond to the hole in the canvas, but my wife is sitting here listening, and we are just absolutely laughing, you know, that sounds exactly like something I would have done, you know, poking a hole in the canvas so that, you know, I can get her to sit closer to me. That's definitely one way to do it.
Another thing my father told me when I was really young, I wasn't even old enough to drive yet, but he told me never wax your car with motor oil, because that's what they used to do in the old days. I mean, all the cars were black, and if you took motor oil, you could shine that car up nice and shiny with the motor oil. The only thing is, all the roads were dirt roads, and the first time you drove down the dirt road, it ruined your shiny car. Over.
That dust that stick right to it. I guess that's one way to do it, I guess. But I love to hear my granddad used to, he worked for Spartanburg County as a dump truck driver. And he would always go to county auctions here in Spartanburg and bring something back, you know. When the county gets done with it, it's pretty much wore out. But he'd go down there and buy something, you know. So, one day he comes back with this Dodge pickup truck. I want to say paid like $80 for it. Drove it home now. And it was that orange, yellow kind of thing, color, you know, county color back then, and had the state seal on the doors, you know. And we got in that thing. He was going to take me up to the store. He'd always take me up to the store and get me a moon pie and a Pepsi. And I got in that thing, Ken, and there wasn't no floorboards in the truck. The floorboards were gone, and they'd stuck a piece of plywood over on the driver's side, you know, so you could put your feet on the driver's side. But I didn't have floorboard on my side. And back then, roads were tar and gravel. There wasn't none of this asphalt. But I remember as a child standing up in the bench seat, you know, hanging on to him in the bench seat, thinking I was going to fall through that hole through the floorboard. And he'd just laugh and laugh and laugh, you know. But those older vehicles, I tell you, I've got a lot of memories in them, but not anything back, you know, in the 20s. I'd say a good time to live, but I think the world was going through some difficult times then, too. But, you know, just to be able to see the cars, I mean, that would be kind of neat.
And I have another thing. I don't know how many people are still hanging around from after that time, but I'm curious, has anyone ever heard of a shortwave listening license that was put out back in the 60s? And does anybody have a Whiskey Papa Echo call sign? I still remember mine, and I've been thinking about getting a new certificate. You can get certificates off the eBay if you give me a call sign. I'm just wondering if anybody else ever got a call sign from it, and do they know guess they don't. Do they know where that call sign originated from, over? I guess not, but the call sign, the first three letters was W for world, and the PE stood for Popular Electronics. And Popular Electronics used to issue shortwave listener call licensing. And it was kind of neat. The first station I ever heard on shortwave was HCJB. Quito, Ecuador, over.
In KO4NUE. So, when I got my Yaesu, just hadn't had my license, you know, a month or so. I didn't know anything about, you know, ham radio. Or antennas, for that matter. So, I bought the thing just to listen. You know, that was my intent when I started this. It's just, you know, oh, it's just kind of morphed into so much more. But anyway, so I built the antenna out of some comma wire and soldered it to a PL259 and strung it out there for about 100 foot, you know, just to listen. And me and my wife, we listened to a station in Cuba, and we could listen to them for a couple of nights, and there's two stations down there that were transmitting. One was, you know, pro-government, and then the other one was, you know, some kind of resistance or something, and they'd talk trash about one another. We'd listen to that for about a week or so. Listen to, you know, other stations in different languages or whatnot, but I've never heard of a shortwave listening license. I think that'd be kind of neat. It'd be kind of neat to have one, I guess, or at least have it on a certificate on the wall here in the shack.
I don't think they issue that anymore, because I don't think Popular Electronics Magazine is even still in print. But I got my ham license, my novice license, in 1973. And if you look it up through a call book, 1973 call book, you'll see my name and upstate New York address on there in 1973. And, you know, over the years, I found there are a lot of people that go out and they'll get their ham license and never talk on the radio. They get around there and listen and listen and listen. But they're too afraid to key that microphone and talk. I guess it's microphone shy or being afraid to say the wrong thing or something like that. God, I mean. But there's probably thousands of people with licenses that never talk, they just listen. And they need to key their microphone and jump in here, because it's a lot of fun to learn. And even if you don't understand something, there's always somebody out there that can explain it for you.
There's always somebody, especially on this frequency, somebody's always willing to help. At least it's been my experience anyway, and has helped me develop be in contact with a really nice group of people and fellowship and community and that kind of thing. But I know what you mean. But I was, you know, we were scared to death to key the mic. We listened to this frequency for about a month or two, and we heard Miss Wendy call the net one night, and Anna was intrigued by Wendy, and I always liked to listen to Gary, and I remember both of us telling one another, you know, hey, boy, I wonder how how do you get to be a net controller? How do you, we just kind of laughed. What if we, actually checked into this and we could try to be net controllers? So, at any rate, Wendy was my wife's, aspiration, and Gary's always been mine, listening to him and, calling that and all. So, lo and behold, here we are. And my wife's a net controller, and I'm a net controller too. So, that's kind of neat. It really is. And all because of the people on the frequency trying to develop community. That's pretty neat, Ken.
And there are no mean people on ham radio. Everybody is, they try to be as sophisticated as they can and as professional as they can, no matter what subject they're talking about. And it's always a pleasure to listen to the net and hear the different personalities and the different things that people experience during the day. I mean, there's no way that I could go out and herd a bunch of cattle or sheep or goats or something like this and then come back in the house at night and talk about how much fun it was. Or
that. You're exactly right. It's quality entertainment, and I've heard a fellow ham of mine that's a really, really close friend of mine. He calls it the Tonight Show. So, and I mean, it's good entertainment, and no garbage, no trash. Helpful and beneficial. So, We look forward to it every night. We can't always, comment or whatnot, but we try our best, but sometimes things get in the way. But, Ken, listen, I'm gonna go ahead and submit my net report, and I'm going to go ahead and bring it to a close. It has been a pleasure talking with you, and I always like to hear you check in. I like the sound your radio makes when you turn loose of the PTT button there. So, Ken, it's a pleasure talking to you, but I'm gonna clear on out on your final, sir.
Good, my friend. That sound after I let off my microphone, that's my name programmed in digitally so that if anybody ever steals the radio, there's proof of who it belongs to. All my radios have that programmed into it now because I had a couple dozen brand new radios stolen out of a storage building, and they hadn't even been programmed yet, so I lost all those. I still got the serial numbers for them though, but anyway, I'll let you go. You have a nice night, and hope your wife has a nice night also. And God bless you both, and we'll talk to you later. K82AXQ, back to net control.
AXQ, KO4NUE. Appreciate it, Ken. Appreciate you dropping by with us. So, all right, let me go ahead and check and see if there are any additional stations that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Please call KO4NUE. Anyone for comments or RACU, please call KO4NUE. Please stand by for my net report. KO4NUE, it has been a true pleasure to be your net controller tonight. I will now return the frequency back to normal amateur use. I am clear.